This is the Drive and Dish Podcast. Talking about NBA news, stats, and fantasy. To start it off, it's Tim Tompkins.
Look at Tony Parker during the playoffs where he got destroyed by Chris Paul. He shot 29% and averaged 11 points a game during the playoffs. He was bad. In Eurobasket this summer, he was bad. I am not in on the Spurs. I'm really worried about their point guard play.
Kevin Rayfuse.
The Warriors, I don't know what the Warriors suddenly did to get disrespected all of a sudden. Because from game one to the last game in June, game six, this team was the best team in the NBA.
And Justin Kuzart.
And their rebounds, they had about 43 a game, which was like 18. So maybe that's what Tristan Thompson sees and says, look, you guys need help on the rebounding end. Like, pay me money.
Well, if you like that, you're going to love this.
If anything, this is the point where we all sit there and get real excited.
Let's go.
All right, so I'm not going to waste any time as we get into the podcast here today. You know, let's start with something like Justin is not here today. Justin's actually not going to be here the next two episodes.
Well, this episode and the next.
Right. Maybe three. It depends how many we do. I don't know. That's a good question. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned, listeners. But seriously, Justin is not here. Where's Justin this week?
Justin was so upset about what happened in Flint that he went down there to protest with the citizens of Flint against the governor of Michigan.
That's very noble. Warning to all listeners, we're going to get a little political for the next probably five or so minutes. So if you want to get straight to basketball talk, skip ahead. Flint, Michigan, it's not the greatest place on earth. In fact, by every livable demographic, it's been possibly the worst city in America over the last decade.
Why is that?
A lot of poverty, a lot of, you know, Flint's about an hour away from Detroit, and there were a lot of, you know, a lot of manufacturing jobs that got lost, a lot of jobs that got lost in the auto industry went under a few years ago. And it's just tough. It's an area that hasn't really recovered that well.
It's also in large majority African American.
Yes. I mean, there's not a lot of jobs. There's not a lot of money in Flint, Michigan. Let's just leave it at that. Let's just give a quick timeline for anyone who hasn't been following this as much. They were buying their water supply from the Detroit water supply. The state decided, you know what, let's save some money. So we are going to switch them to the Flint River, which, mind you, the river is the reputation of being General Motors sewer.
I mean, this river was so corrosive that it bled through, it corroded lead pipes.
Right. It leached lead off pipes, and right. so it elevated the lead levels in the water. You can't drink lead. Lead poisoning is a huge issue all around, and especially in kids. In kids, you know, exposure to high levels of lead, it can stunt your IQ. It causes
brain damage.
Yeah, right. It can cause permanent brain damage. You know, there have been reports that it's led to ADHD being formed in some children. And on top of that, there was the bacteria that causes Legionnaire's disease. Mind you, Legionnaire's disease, we don't get that in America. You know, this is a developed country. It's a type of disease that you don't expect to get.
So when you said cost cutting, I think it's important to know that they were doing this, the city, to save $100 a day.
Right.
$100 a day.
$100 a day. And mind you, there's about 100 and I think there's about 120,000 people in Flint. I could be a little off here, but there's a significant amount of people here. It's not like this is some town with 500 people.
Right.
The citizens started noticing, hey, the water's a little funny. Mind you, this is the water that they're drinking, they're bathing in, they're giving their kids, they're watering their plants. So basically, they started complaining, and the state did a study. And there are now documents that the state found out or was knew about this kind of in about June of this year. And it took an independent study from a researcher from Virginia Tech to confirm, oh, by the way, there's tremendous amounts of lead in the water that you've been drinking. There are pictures of this water online. Seriously, look it up. It is brown. It is coming out of the tap brown, stuff that I wouldn't wash my car with.
Well, the governor did the PR stunt where he drank some water out of a cup that was the Flint water to say it's okay. But he releases emails because they're all calling for him to resign. So he releases emails at the very beginning. If you read the emails, they thought that there was a problem, but that it was being politicized and it wasn't actually like a huge deal. It was like, yeah, there's a little bit of environmental issue here, but the parties are trying to politicize this.
Right. Michigan Governor Rick Snyder, I'm saying his name, has turned this into a political issue. And basically for about 6 months, maybe even longer, the city knowingly allowed a town of 120,000 people. I mean, the researcher that really blew the lid off this said that he's never seen as gross of a disregard for human life. Now, since then, you know, the National Guard has been called in. They're putting in all sorts of water. They swear they're going to clean this up.
It's going to cost them like $1 billion, too. They have to replace all the pipes.
Right.
And
so, mind you, this is trying to save money. But I guess the point here is, you know, I'm absolutely appalled by what's happened here. And somebody needs to go to prison over this.
Oh, it's disgusting. I mean, this is absolutely, like, they're calling for his resignation, but he
That's not
needs,
good enough to
no,
me.
No, no. So he's come out and he said, look, it wasn't just me that signed off on this. Officials at the local level signed off on this. That doesn't make it okay.
No.
Just because several people okayed
this.
You're
the governor of the state. It's your job to, what is your job as a governor than not to protect the health and well-being of your citizens? And oh, by the way, you just knowingly poisoned 120,000 of them with lead.
Can you imagine like 40, 50 years, all the mental problems that are going to be stemmed from this?
Well, and that's what pisses me off the most is the kids. Like, you've now a generation of kids from Flint who already have it hard enough. Like, let's not act like coming up in Flint isn't already. There's no money and there's no jobs in Flint. We've said that. You've possibly given them permanent brain damage. You've stunted their IQs. Like, this is a crime. Just someone has to go to jail for this. And it bothers me because it seems like they thought we wouldn't care about the people of Flint.
It reminds me of Hurricane Katrina. And I remember, I will admit that I leaned right during the beginning of Bush's presidency. I grew up Republican, and it was specifically Hurricane Katrina, and watching all the African Americans on TV with signs that said help, and nothing was being done.
Bush flew over the city. He literally flew over the city and didn't stop in it.
Well,
how are you the president of the United States and you don't stop anywhere? Because Katrina, you know, people forget about Katrina, too. Like, Katrina devastated the entire Gulf Coast.
Well, the argument there is him stopping actually makes things worse. And I get the argument. I don't necessarily think the president should be walking around because I don't feel like that's conducive. But the president should be able to help people. And everyone always says, if they were white, this wouldn't have happened. And you don't really have a way to quantify that. You don't really have a way to prove that. However, if there was a city full of white people holding up a sign, if Flint was a majority Caucasian, would this have happened?
No.
And I don't think it would. I don't even know if he's Republican or Democrat.
He's a Republican.
He is. I had no idea. But that doesn't make it okay. So when we were talking about politicizing this, and I was talking to somebody about how we were going to intro the show with this, and they were asking, is he Republican or Democrat? I don't know. I don't care.
Political party has nothing to do with it. It's the fact of the matter is that you let, you know, I do think it's a little bit of the African-American card, and I do think it's a little bit of the poor card. People don't think that we care about these people, which to me, it's like, why are we picking and choosing the value of human life? Like, what makes those people any less willing or deserving to have the quality of life that we have? I mean, this is drinking water. Drinking water. Yeah. This is a basic human essential.
Mm-hmm.
And you willingly let them drink contaminated water.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like this is it's not like this is a luxury.
To save $100 a day.
To save $100 a
like,
day.
Like, this isn't a person saving $100 a day. This is a city.
Rick Snyder, step down. Seriously, step down.
Awful,
you have failed. You have failed in your duty to the citizens of Flint. Thank you, everyone, for putting up with that. And if you skipped ahead and didn't want to listen to our Flint, Michigan rant, you know, welcome to the Driving Dish NBA podcast. We do have a lot of great stuff to talk about today. My name is Kevin Rayfuse. Joining me to my left, my co-host, Tim Tompkins.
Ball don't lie.
Our producer, Justin Kuzar, is usually in the building. He will not be here for a few episodes.
I mean, he's in Flint. What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, he's protesting. He's fighting for our rights, so mm-hmm. You can't really knock him there.
Yep. So every week on the episode, we like to give you guys a shout-out for giving us a shout-out on iTunes, leaving us a review. And this week...
Yeah, we do, actually, but we're gonna switch things up a little bit this week because, you know, variety is the spice of life.
Is it a bad one? Is that how we're going to switch it up? Because, man, we got a scathing
review. No, it's not. It's not even an iTunes review. I'm saying we got a review on Facebook.
Oh. And,
you know, occasionally, iTunes review. Viewers, we have seen lots of them. We've got a lot of good ones. We did get one bad one that we'll get to eventually.
I can't wait to talk about it because I have so many feelings about it.
Well, unfortunately,
it was an insider job.
Well, unfortunately, it's just kind of like it's lower on the list
because we go in order,
date order,
right?
Because, you know, I don't want to make it seem like we're skipping anybody's reviews. Like we genuinely read every review, good or bad, that we do on the podcast,
and we also actually read them ourselves and look at them and talk about them. So on Facebook, if you haven't had a chance yet, you want to give us a like, it's at Drive and Dish. We always post a bunch of cool stuff up there during the week too, so it's a good way to chat with us.
Yeah, absolutely. No, but seriously though, we do keep ourselves honest with the review. We read the bad ones. Everybody knows that. But anyway, we're wasting time. This review is from Lucas Tepper. It's on Facebook. First, he announces that he's from Poland. So this is the first review from Poland we've had. So
I wonder if he knows Gortat.
I don't know. Maybe. Lucas, if you know Marcin Gortat, let us know. But seriously, shout out to Poland. You know, it's our first review from that country. All our Polish listeners, you know, we appreciate you. He asked, is he the first? So yes, Lucas, you are indeed the first. But anyway, so his review, he says, so I think the podcast is great. Really, I've been listening to almost every podcast possible concerning the NBA over the summer and lately due to lots of car traveling. So that's why I think I have a good perspective. Kevin Rafuse's voice is something special. I don't know why I depicted him as a mustache guy, smiley face. I can listen to him all day, and I really like the chemistry between Kevin and Tim. Keep it up, guys. I will be listening to your podcast because it's one of the best out there. Oh, and one more thing. What do you think about Gonzaga's Przemek Karnowski? Does he have a chance to be drafted?
I remember this. I also think the only reason you're reading this one is because the dude said how much he loves your voice.
It's not, though. Like, see, when it's something like that, though, no, seriously, like, I genuinely, and I do appreciate it. Like, when people tell me they like my voice, like, it really, like, my voice is literally what I make money with. You're in there as well.
Right.
No, seriously, like, Luke, I really do appreciate this.
You left out Justin. Luke. Thank you, Lucas, but you left out Justin. Without him, the show's not as funny.
Does Gonzaga's Przemek Karnowski have a chance to get drafted? And yeah, absolutely. I think he has a chance to get drafted. You know, I got to be honest, I hadn't watched too much tape on him. Gonzaga always does this thing where they're really good. They get into the tournament, they make a run, but they never quite achieve the way you want them to. Like, they never take that leap. They're like the Grizzlies of the 2000s, if you will. They're always like, they can get you to a Western Conference Finals, but you can't really get much further. So sorry, Grizzlies fans, but yeah, Karnowski's got a good chance of getting drafted. He's played for the Polish national team before. He's a senior this year. He's a center. He was projected to go originally. He could have been a top 10 pick. He slipped a little bit of a disappointing year last year, but he's projected right now as a mid lottery pick. So he'll definitely get drafted.
The scouts are saying that there's going to be fewer one and duns this year than in prior years. I guess they aren't particularly enthralled with the freshman class.
Oh, it's not this year, and we're going to kind of. You know, we have lots of time to talk about this, but I mean, I don't really, like, the last two drafts have been strong. We've been spoiled. Like, there's been a lot of talent coming out. I mean, this draft outside of, you know, we know Ben Simmons is Ben Simmons, and we know Brandon Ingram is really good, and we know kid from Croatia, I'm blanking on his name right now, he's really good as well. But beyond that, it's just kind of, it's like, eh.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah,
like,
you and I have differing opinions on that. So, but we will save it for when we get a little bit closer to the draft. Because now that the Phoenix Suns are in tinkapalooza mode, I am following.
Absolutely. And one more thing, Lucas, I do have a mustache right now. And when this got left, I made
you have
very
a beard.
Well, right. Like, I have a beard and the mustache.
Well, so I don't. It's not one or the other. It's either a beard or a mustache.
Well, but the mustache isn't the beard, though. It's a part of facial hair experience.
I don't consider it a mustache unless it's only the stash.
Oh,
now, I do think you should definitely rock just the stash.
Oh,
though.
I will at some point. Yeah. Like it's going to happen. I thought about doing it this November, but in November I had still kind of just started growing the beard, so I was kind of like, you know, I was still enjoying it. So
no,
I
want to see full Ron Burgundy Kevin walking into the newsroom.
Oh, it's gonna happen, like, sooner than later. Don't you worry. Stay tuned. But no one else is about to happen. Let me get some news.
Tell me something I do not know. Do not know.
Now. If you do not know the present, how can you claim to know the future?
Now on NBA News on the Drive and Dish podcast.
We need to know now.
All right, first in your news, Josh Smith has been traded by the Clippers back to the Rockets. Smith was signed by the Clippers in the offseason. Speaking of the Clippers, Blake Griffin has ramped up workouts, and they said that he could return to the team on Tuesday. The Clippers have gone 10-2 during his absence. It's been reported that Avery Bradley is unhappy with the four-year, $32 million contract he signed in 2014 with the Celtics. Bradley's deal was viewed as a good one, but he's upset because players like Chris Middleton and Tristan Thompson, who are comparative players, have gotten bigger deals. Avery Bradley has also changed agents. And lastly in your news, the Cavs have fired David Blatt and promoted Tyronn Lue to head coach. They have also hired Mike Lombardi as an assistant head coach. He was recently let go by the Phoenix Suns and was in charge of the Suns' defense. That's what Tyronn Lue was doing before he was promoted to head coach. And that's your news for this week.
So, the elephant in the room. The big news that happened this weekend. PJ Tucker went down with a shoulder injury against the Spurs. The Suns then had 8 players left on the roster and hardly were able to finish out the game because of foul trouble. I know it's been on everyone's mind, and we're gonna get down on what happened during the Suns Spurs game.
Our listeners are really, really looking forward to that that hot analysis that you're about to break down. But I took a nap yesterday at probably 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This is on Friday. I woke up, I should say, maybe around like 5:30, and I looked at my phone, and I was just like, you know, I had a whole bunch of texts. I'm just like, what in the world is happening? And I was like, oh my God, I took a nap and the Cavaliers fired David Blatt. That is definitely something big. And I'm also glad that this didn't happen on, you know, Saturday afternoon, which is usually when big news loves to break right
after
we recorded.
That's what I was actually thinking was going to happen. Woj dropped this. I believe it was Woj, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course it's Woj, dude. We know. Of course it's Woj.
Well, I mean, a little bit more surprising was Brian Windhorst, honestly. Yeah, I was shocked. You look at the Cleveland Cavaliers this season, and they're number one in the East. They were 30-11 as of the time this happened. We record on Saturdays. They're playing the Bulls tonight, so we'll see what happens with that, obviously. With the Cavaliers, you look at them this season, they've been great. They've arguably outperformed given all the injuries they've had. But when it's come time to beat the team that matters, because no one in the East matters. The regular season doesn't matter. What matters is whether or not they can beat the Spurs or the Warriors.
Absolutely. Or the Thunder, even.
Right. They haven't been able to do. I think they beat the Thunder, if I'm not mistaken. But they haven't been able to beat the Warriors or the Spurs. And like, if you can't beat them, then it doesn't matter.
Well, they won 2 straight. They had a pretty nice win against the Clippers the other night on National.
Did you see Blatt's comments right after the Clippers win?
No, what'd he say?
Kind of paraphrase it. But essentially what he said is that the Cleveland Cavaliers have a target on their back every single night. And that they've overcome adversity. They've overcome all the media hype around them. And that everyone needs to just lay off the Cavs. So this is like right after they beat the Clippers, right after they come back in convincing fashion. They also beat the Nets too. So you're looking like 2 games in a row where they won by like 17 or 18 points after right. that embarrassing loss to the Warriors, and really standing up for his team. And then it's just, bam, it's done. The Cavaliers have come out and they have said, LeBron James was not consulted on this.
Uh-huh. Why are you always lying? Why are you always lying? Come on, man. No one believes that for a damn second. You know, LeBron is behind this a hit 150%. LeBron's wanted Black gone since he got there. And the difference between LeBron in Cleveland and LeBron in Miami is in Miami, you know, because I think LeBron wanted Spoelstra gone. I think it was clear. He was bumping into Spoelstra on the bench. Like, it was clear as day that LeBron wanted Spoelstra gone in Miami. But the difference in Miami is they have Pat Riley. You know, you can't go against Pat Riley. It's just not going to happen. He's ingrained in that culture. He's a known champion. And Pat Riley basically told him, like, shut up and deal with it. There's no one to do that in Cleveland. LeBron James runs the Cleveland Cavaliers to the point where he's getting, you know, he's literally making them pay the luxury tax out of Dan Gilbert's pockets. There's no one in sports who has a grip on the organization the way LeBron James does. And, you know, the Cavaliers are 30-11 right now. They're by far in first place in the Eastern Conference. I don't think there's anyone stopping them from getting back to the finals again. And this is a mess. I mean, this is an absolute mess, and David Blatt's been set up to fail from day one, and I really don't like the way this is handled. I mean, if this is a scenario where it turns into a Mark Jackson, Steve Kerr type deal, and the Cavaliers take the leap, and maybe they figure out how to use Kevin Love, and maybe Kyrie Irving and LeBron James stop playing in ISO whenever things get difficult, and maybe, you know, the Cavaliers can take the leap and win a championship, and we'll all be laughing about this. But this is a big time, you know, I've been as big of a LeBron fan as anybody, but I really don't like the way that he's handled this scenario. I think it's a bit of a disgrace. I think he's put a target on his back since day one. I don't think he's ever let David, I mean, you see LeBron, you know, basically leading an open rebellion, waving off play calls from the sideline, like changing
well, the Portland game
and practice.
The
he's
Portland game
them not
they
to
threw
run certain things
after that Warriors loss. The next night when they got blown out against Portland, they threw that game because they were revolting against Blatt, and that was led by LeBron James in the locker room.
I mean, that's embarrassing. Right. Like, that's not professional. Like, dude, remember, show up and do your job. You're 30-11. You're one of the best teams in the NBA. You lost 2 games recently. You lost to the Spurs by 4 points. Mind you, the Spurs, who have beaten everybody by, it seems like, 16 points this year, you lost to by 4 points. And yeah, you got embarrassed by the Warriors a little bit, but you played them tough on Christmas. Do I think the Cavaliers, as currently constructed, are going to beat the Warriors or the Spurs in a seven-game series? No, I don't. But you never know what could happen. This is a team last year that was two games away from winning a championship without Kevin Love and without Kyrie Irving. This team is going to waltz back into the finals, and you're going to fire your head coach in the middle of the season? I feel terribly for David Blatt. I don't think he ever had a true chance to succeed, and I think it's a really unprofessional that they basically led an open revolt against him when they're 30-11. Maybe the coaching wasn't there, and maybe David Blatt wasn't as great of a coach and got bailed out by having a lot of talent around him. And that's something we'll have to see.
Was his job harder because of all the talent around him? When he accepted the job here, he was accepting a job in a league he'd never done with a developing team in mind, coaching LeBron
right.
James.
Well, you have three superstars. We talk about one of the most difficult things about coaching in the NBA is everybody thinks it's X's and O's, but realistically, maybe the hardest thing to do in the NBA is manage the egos of 12 grown men who are professional basketball players.
Well, especially those three grown men. Woj has an article, and he lays this out, which I think is really interesting. So, remember when Mark Jackson signed with Clutch Sports, and that the feeling was that he signed with Clutch Sports, Mark Jackson did, and LeBron James wanted Mark Jackson to be the coach. So from day one, from day one when he got in there, his idea was to get Blatt out and to get Mark Jackson in. That way, Clutch Sports could also be making the money off of making the commission sales off of Mark Jackson as well. And that didn't happen. So if you look at the Cleveland Cavaliers organization, apparently David Blatt didn't like to call out LeBron James in film sessions. Ty Lue stepped up and did that, won the respect of the players. Instead of the Cavs going with, the Cavs knew LeBron James didn't want David Blatt as a coach. They had to make some sort of change. That was evidence. It was either going to be the coaching or it was going to be the personnel. And if you can't get rid of Kevin Love, if you can't change the lineup, the only thing you can change is the coaching. I get that. I don't necessarily agree, but I get that. But instead of hiring Mark Jackson, they went with Ty Lue immediately. No interim coach, no nothing. Ty Lue immediately. So I feel like they didn't completely give in to LeBron James's wishes on this. Like, LeBron James got the coach out. He didn't want him out.
Well, you can't. If you're the GM of the Cleveland Cavaliers, there's going to be a world post-LeBron James. And you don't want to... You know, Miami's done a good job of bouncing back a little bit, but you know, we remember that first season when LeBron left Miami and how much of a whirlwind it was, and how quickly things could have been bad in terms of, you know, they're very fortunate in the aspect they were able to re-sign Bosch and kind of negate that damage a little bit. But I mean, the quiet fact here is LeBron James is declining. LeBron James, I think, on any given night, if he chooses to play at his peak, can be the best player in the NBA, but it's not as clear as day as it's been the past three or four seasons anymore, where LeBron was just unstoppable.
A lot of people are saying his decline is going to be worse because he's never truly developed a jump shot.
Well, no, it's the symptom of the Dwayne Wade thing. You know, Dwayne Wade and LeBron James have never been the best shooters, but they were. You know, you rely on your athleticism to get you by, and as LeBron's athleticism starts to go, if he doesn't have a consistent jump shot to lean on, that could be a huge knock against your career. And it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, we saw how quickly the wheels came off when it came to Kobe, so you just never know when that's going to happen. You know, Father Time is undefeated. If you're a Cleveland fan, obviously LeBron coming back is the best thing that you ever could have asked for. But you look at what's happened there now.
You know,
Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins is gone. You brought in Kevin Love. You signed Tristan Thompson to this huge cap extension. You went
Clutch
all
sports,
in and spent
baby.
All this money with building this roster. You're by far paying the highest luxury tax rate in the league, by far have the biggest salary on the league. You know, it's clear to me that LeBron James is calling the shots. It's clear to anyone who watches Cleveland Cavaliers, LeBron James has been calling the shots since he came back. You know, there was, let's not forget that Andrew Wiggins was left out of that I'm coming home article. Let's not act like that wasn't a thing.
Well, you remember that play call last year where LeBron James was going to be inbounding the ball to Irving, and he changed a shot. He changed the play that Dave Blatt had written up. Like, there, you know, it's public revolt.
I guess
he pushed Blatt, I was saying this is like a public revolt, and you were saying no, it's not. It's just blah blah blah.
Well, because he did with Spo, and you hoped that they would get it under control, and that it was just part of the growing process. But there's no Pat Riley to reel LeBron in, as we kind of said. But I guess the point is LeBron, the GM. If you don't win a title, I think you really have to look at what this team, because they've basically stripped the cupboard bare. Wiggins looks to be the start of something special. If you don't win, giving away Wiggins looks a whole lot worse.
I don't agree. I think if you were in the position that the Cavs were in, that your window is so small, and Kevin Love is an absolute superstar. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care that he's become the punching bag and on vines and everything. And then there was that vine in the Warriors game, the really bad defense that Love had played. You saw that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where Love ran out. Everybody in that play messed up. Love just happened to be the player that moved the most.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Cavs were down by 40 points at one point. If you're blaming Kevin Love as the sole reason they lost by 40 points, you are a hater.
I mean, it's just, what was Amon Schumpert doing right there? You know, like, everybody messed up in that play. Kevin Love just moved the most, so he's become a punching bag. But Kevin Love is an absolute superstar in the league. So I guess the point being is that if you were the Cavs, your window is small. You have to go for it.
Oh, absolutely. I understand that argument. I get it. It's just, it's going to look unfavorable when you go all in and you don't win a championship. It's the risks of going all in. You have to take that leap sometimes. And
if you don't go all in and you don't win the championship, then it looks just as bad too. Would they be better with Andrew Wiggins? Absolutely not. Like, Kevin Love, yeah, he's not great defensively. Yeah, they need to fix it. But what he brings to the team off the ball is something that very few power forwards in this league do.
I think that Kevin Love's stock is definitely, plummeted. I think to the point where he's underrated now. I guess that's what I'm saying. I think people forget how good Kevin Love is.
When you say his stock, are you talking about GMs and coaches, or are you saying the general public?
I'm saying the general perception around the league of Kevin Love has not been what it was when he was in Minnesota.
Right.
And I think people expected the opposite to happen when he went to Cleveland.
Well, so look at, the Chris Bosh effect. When Chris Bosh was playing with LeBron James in Miami, he just come in from Toronto and he was, a superstar. He ends up becoming the third fiddle on Miami, and everyone underestimates how good Bosh
is. Sure, but the difference is, though, I think anyone who was a real basketball fan or really, watched the games knew how good Bosh was. I don't think Love gets the respect that Bosh does for taking less of an impact role. Chris Bosh thrived in that limited role. He knew exactly what it was. I mean, defensively, he was an absolute force on those Miami teams.
I mean, I do think that people just forgot about him, though.
Oh, of course. I mean, he was always the third fiddle. Mm-hmm. He was always behind LeBron and Wade. And to me, I've said this on the show before, not to keep this going, but kind of end this conversation, is, I think Chris Bosh was the second most important player on that Miami run. You're listening to Driving Dish NBA Podcast.
Wait, are we done? Are we done? We got to wait for Justin. We got to do this on another episode and talk about whether or not they should trade Kevin Love, what they can do. I mean, I just feel like we could have so much deeper of a philosophical question on the Cavs right now. I don't mind ending it because there's jerseys that are out. There's the All-Star. The results are in. The Olympic team is in. Also, I have this really fun segment that I'm going to start doing if this goes over well. So we want to hear from you. I take three hot takes off of Reddit, and anybody that's been on the NBA Reddit knows how hot takey those can be. And I'm not going to tell Kevin ahead of time what these three hot takes are, but I'm going to read them and get his instant reaction.
You're just trying to get me mad.
No, I think they're all funny. So if you guys like that segment, let us know. So I guess we'll wait and have a more philosophical debate on Cleveland.
There's going to be plenty of fallout. We got to see Tyronn Lue take over. We got to see how they play with the role. There are all-star starters are out. There's a lot of things that we can talk about this episode.
That's fine. We'll move on. One point I want to make before we move on.
Okay.
Is that I think what's happening to the Cavs this year is the same that's happening to Oklahoma City and arguably the Clippers. If every other year you could be a championship contender, on years when there are historically great teams, it's not good enough. Well, and that just might be what it is for the Cavs.
Well, and it could be. I mean, it's the Jordan effect. You have to wonder of how many teams in the 90s, with the Sonics and Gary Payton and Sean Kemp and the Trailblazers at the time with Clyde Drexler and the Rockets with Olajuwon, who only won the 2 years when Jordan wasn't playing, which not a knock against Hakeem. He's one of the greatest players of all time. But you wonder how many, the Knicks with Patrick Ewing, you wonder how many of those teams could have won a championship, but Michael Jordan was there in the way. I mean,
right.
We're looking at we're looking with the Warriors and the Spurs, and we're going to talk about them more in a little bit, but we're looking at the Warriors and the Spurs, and you're looking at two of the greatest teams possibly in NBA history in the same year.
Yeah.
It's very rare that that happens.
And I just think that the Cavs and possibly the Thunder are falling victim to circumstance more than it is a lack of quality in their rosters.
No, absolutely. I think there's, I mean, the Cleveland Cavaliers could win a championship, I think, almost any other year. But you're listening to the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. Kevin Rafuse, Tim Tompkins, our friend Justin Cousart is up protesting in Flint, Michigan. Please follow us on Twitter at Drive and Dish NBA.
Play basketball.
Gee, let me think. Sure.
The Drive and Dougal.
Wait, what's that?
It's like Google, if it's just the NBA.
All right, today we're going to talk about a foul in the act of shooting. It's one of the more confusing issues that people argue a lot about sitting on the couch while watching the games. Generally, a shooting a foul occurs when a defensive player makes contact with a shooter who is in the act of shooting, or the shooting motion, until he returns to normal position. On a jump shot, the shooting motion starts when the player starts his upward motion with the ball and continues through the release. There are three areas that the refs state sometimes lead to confusion. The first spot is jumping into a defender while shooting. For example, if you were to do a pump fake and the defender jumps and then the shooter jumps into the guy creating contact, it is a shooting foul. The only way it wouldn't be a shooting foul is if the defender jumps straight up and down. If the defensive player is in the air and the offensive player jumps and seeks out the contact with an airborne defender, it is an offensive foul if the contact is more than marginal. If it's minimal contact, it probably won't be called. Now, there is something called rip-throughs. If a defensive player has his arm extended while guarding an offensive player with the ball in a face-to-face situation, any contact with the offensive player while he attempts a rip-through, which is move the ball from side to side between him and the defender, is an automatic foul. If the contact occurs during the side-to-side movement, but before the offensive player starts his upward motion, it is a non-shooting foul. If the contact occurs after the side-to-side movement during the offensive player's upward motion slash continuation, it will be awarded a shooting foul, and they will go to the free throw line. Now, there is an exception. If the defender is lunging his arms away from the basket and the offensive player seeks the contact on the shot, a non-shooting foul will be assessed. It's still a foul, though. And the last place is take fouls on shooters. If a defender takes a foul against an offensive player to stop the play, the offensive player with the ball is on the perimeter or backcourt, a shooting foul will be assessed if the offensive player has already started his upward shooting motion like we talked about. If he hasn't started his upward shooting motion at the time of the contact, it's a non-shooting foul. The only exception would be if the contact occurs with an expiration of the game or shot clock, a shooting foul will be assessed regardless of whether the shooting motion has started before or after the time of contact within reason. And there you have it, a foul in the act of shooting.
So on a lighter note, something a bit happier, our All-Star starters are out. And Tim, it's funny because, you know, I tweeted the All-Star starters this week when they were announced, and all the instant reaction was, oh, Tim doesn't have to boycott the All-Star game now. And I'm glad, you know, I'm not going to be watching the All-Star game by my lonesome. You know, that's good.
When I said that, I don't really like the All-Star game. There's no defense. It's become like a three-point shootout, which I don't find particularly, like, I don't find it a lot of fun to see teams run up and down the court and just chuck shots.
Yeah, I mean, it's just fun. You got to take it for what it is. It's just like, it's like street ball.
So no, I'm not boycotting. Pretty happy with the results. I think they went the way, not necessarily that they should have, but it wasn't egregious.
No, I don't think there was anything egregious.
You know, but I guess we should, you want to talk about West or East first?
Well, we'll talk about the East just because they're first on the outline that we've got written here. So the two guards in the East are Dwayne Wade and Kyle Lowry, and the three front court players are LeBron James, Paul George, and Carmelo Anthony.
I will say Kyle Lowry edged out Kyrie Irving by about 30,000 votes within the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an extremely, extremely close one. Also, Pau Gasol was a runner-up right there. I think Dwayne Wade has had a fantastic season. Kyle Lowry's had a really good season. I think people forget they're shooting like 41-42%, but he's been, you know, skinny Lowry's a thing that we haven't talked about on the show yet.
Lowry's definitely a thing.
And I guess I don't really know why we haven't talked about the Raptors. So I think everybody there was deserving. Carmelo Anthony, definitely his lowest vote count in several years. And Porzingis was almost an all-star, man. Like, I wonder how long it's going to be before Porzingis is an all-star. Because if you judge the jersey sales by the likelihood of someone becoming an all-star, like, Porzingis could be up there next year.
Oh, it's New York, man. It's the New York effect. I mean, look at, you know, I lived in New York during Linsanity, and I remember just how ridiculous it was with Jeremy Lin. Like, it's fun. It's a fun ridiculous because, you know, the Knicks at that season, you know, it really started badly and needed something to believe in. And Jeremy Lin for that month was unbelievable. And you know, me being a typical, you know, I love to rib Knicks fans a little bit. And I was kind of like hating on Linsanity, kind of like, whatever. And then there was a game against the Raptors where it was a tie game. He waved off the play call and said, "I got this." It took an ISO jumper and buried it to win the game. And I was like, "Yo, I'm sold." I was like, "Insanity is definitely a thing." I can't. When you have the balls to wave off the play call and say, "I got this," take an ISO jumper and bury it to win the game, when you're Jeremy Lin, who nobody had heard of at the time, you just got to give it up.
I mean, that was very LeBron James of him.
It was, yeah, but Jeremy Lin also didn't get his coach fired. But anyways, I think Porzingis will be an all-star at some point. I mean, I think that's
dude,
one of the,
he sure will be, man.
That's one of the things about living in New York, too, is you're always, I mean, it's the number one media market in the world. It's the biggest city in America. Like, there's always going to be that spotlight. I mean,
hey, rookie of the year, Towns or Porzingis?
Towns.
Is it close?
No. It's not. I mean, it will be close in terms of voting because I think Porzingis takes all the hype away, and I think, you know, people.
He's very Vine friendly.
He's very Vine friendly.
Which I'm learning is just something like in the NBA. If you're Vine friendly, everyone loves you.
Oh, of course. Why? That's why Curry's as big of a, you know.
I would argue that's why
Curry's
Irving
fan base
is, but
because of Vine and because he's such a Vineable player. You know, we talked earlier off the mic about his pull up half court jumper last.
So
night.
you don't think it's you don't even think it's close?
No, I think if you look at every number, every measure, every eye test, I mean, Karl Anthony Towns is one of the best rookies we've seen in a while. I mean, we're watching what seems to be a superstar develop right in front of our eyes. He's the number one pick who lived up to every bit of that billing. It's not even close to me. Towns is the runaway rookie of the year. I was talking to one of our listeners on Twitter about this the other day. I think Porzingis is too. If you look at Towns, Porzingis, and Jahlil Okafor, I think they're all having fantastic seasons.
Okay, well, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just devil's advocate right here. And that being that the Knicks are actually playing really well this year, mm-hmm. and Porzingis's play, although, you know, a lot of how Porzingis impacts a game is off of putbacks and dunks and defensive ability. So it's not like plays are being called for him that often, but his play is resulting in wins, whereas Karl Anthony Towns, for the sake of this argument, is putting up empty stats.
Sure, but I think that Porzingis has a lot more to work with talent-wise.
I don't agree with you. I don't agree with you right there. Look at the Minnesota Timberwolves, where they do have Wiggins, where they do have LaVine, where they have Ricky Rubio. I'm not done. Where they have Kevin Martin, where they have Shabazz Muhammad, who is actually a really good off-the-bench scorer. They do have Pekovic. They have Kevin Garnett. They have Adrian Payne. There's talent on that. I think the Timberwolves have grossly unperformed this year.
See, I just don't.
I think that there's a lot. Like, if you look at the Knicks, there's some talent on that team for sure. But it's not like Towns isn't. It's not like, not to take a shot at the Sixers. It's not like there's only one or two other good players on the team.
But it kind of is that to me, though, is when I look at the Timberwolves. I mean, when I look at the Knicks, I see a handful of players that, you know, are bona fide, solidified, have played in a few season NBA players. You know, the Knicks have Robin Lopez is on the roster, and Aaron Aflalo is on the roster, and Carmelo Anthony's obviously there. So a lot of these guys have been through it before. Minnesota's a very young core, is kind of learning how to play together. A lot of these players you mentioned, like Kevin Martin, is old and just not very good at this point. Zach LaVine, I'm not really that sold on Zach LaVine at all. I don't really know what Zach LaVine is beyond maybe the best dunker in the league. I'm still waiting for him to kind of put the rest of it together. Sure, Wiggins is there, but Wiggins is in year two.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I can call Towns putting up empty stats. I mean, because to me, it just goes deeper than that. I mean, all his advanced numbers are really high as well. I do think it's a runaway. And that's not a knock against Porzingis. It's more of, I think Karl Anthony Towns is that good.
Okay, well, now that we've strayed off topic a little bit, let's talk about the West.
So West starters, we got Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook, and our three front court players are Kobe Bryant, who is the highest all-star vote getter, along with Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard.
I want to talk about the runner-up front court, Zaza Pachulia, who finished ahead of Draymond Green. That was my takeaway in all of this, was that Zaza Pachulia received more fan votes than Draymond Green.
Dude, Mavs fans are going hard for their boy Zaza Pachulia. There's nothing wrong with that.
So I'm really happy that Kevin Durant made it. I know last year he wasn't voted in. Kevin Durant, you know, this entire narrative this year has been Curry and the threes and the Warriors and, you know, the Spurs and now the Cavs. And Kevin Durant has been phenomenal this year.
Absolutely. Him and Westbrook and the whole Thunder team. The Thunder's starting lineup, by efficiency, is the best starting five in the NBA.
I didn't know that.
It's because it's going under the radar. I mean, the Thunder, you know, usually we always joke about, oh, the Spurs are underrated. You know, the Spurs always do this. Like, the Spurs are getting their credit this year. The Thunder are that third team that I think no one is giving any chance to beat the Warriors or the Spurs, and I don't really get why.
So if you are the Thunder, you're going to the playoffs. Second round, you're going to have to face one or the other, the Spurs or the Warriors. If you're the Thunder, which matchup do you prefer?
If I'm the Thunder, I want the Spurs, just because the Thunder in the past have historically matched up better with the Spurs. The Thunder are a very athletic team. I think Russell Westbrook can really attack and exploit the Tony Parker matchup a little bit.
Spurs also have Kawhi Leonard to throw on Durant. They have LaMarcus Aldridge and David West that they didn't have last year.
Oh, of course they. Like, I'm not saying it would be a runaway for the Thunder, but in the past, you know, even this season, we've seen the Thunder beat the Spurs this season. I think they match up well, and I think there are areas where, you know, I think Ibaka can exploit LaMarcus Aldridge a little bit. You know, obviously the concern there is that they're going to throw a lot of bodies at him, but, you know, I think there are opportunities for the Thunder to succeed, where I think in the case against the Warriors, they're going to kind of have to get into a shootout a little bit. Now, granted, the Spurs could walk all over this team and mop the floor with them. Like, I'm not trying to downplay the Spurs at all, because I think the Spurs, honestly, and we'll get into this a little more in mailbag, like, I think the Spurs match up incredibly well against the Warriors. If you're listening to the Drive-In Dish NBA podcast, Kevin Rafuse, Tim Tompkins, Justin Kuzart, like us on Facebook, Drive-In Dish NBA podcast, and, you know, we're going to be breaking down the all-star rosters a whole lot more once we, you know, kind of have them in full.
Don't really hot.
It's time for Hot Takes from Reddit.
Hot, right?
So, I came up with this idea. I have a little notepad on my phone, and I think of ideas for the show, whether that be topics or segments, because they always come to me, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the morning, whenever, randomly, and I forget about them. So I started putting them all in this little notepad.
Yeah, it's big. It's like an inspiration pad.
Yeah. So when we go to write the show, I put these in here. So I had this idea, and I know how much Kevin really loves hot takes.
Of course.
And I was thinking
the
about
spiciest of takes.
How hot all the takes are on Reddit. So, three of them. I want to get your reaction.
All right.
Have you read these yet?
No.
Did you cheat and look at my Dropbox?
No. I only have my outline because I made notes on my own outline.
Hot take number one.
Kyle Singler is no longer the worst player in the NBA, and more people need to know.
I don't think. Was Kyle Singler ever the worst player in the NBA? Who do you think is the worst player in the NBA?
It keeps coming back to JaVale McGee every single time, and I don't know that that's accurate, though.
I don't think that's accurate.
But it keeps coming back to JaVale McGee for me, who has been, actually, he's been playing.
He has been playing.
I guess, who do you think, though? I feel bad. I wish I would have been more prepared for that.
Oh, I don't know. I know. I kind of caught you off the cuff there. I don't really know. I mean, there's a 12th man somewhere that is probably something that we're not even thinking of. But just the fact that I can name Kyle Singler and think of things that he's done, to me, makes him already not the worst player in the NBA.
I think up with Kyle Singler, so I watch the Thunder because I think they're a little bit fun sometimes. And Robertson is a thing, and how much he needs to not be a thing. And I don't know if Kyle Singler can play shooting guard or not, or if he just, like, he's not quick enough. But I really think that the Thunder should at least attempt to see what it would be like to throw Kyle Singler in as the starting shooting guard over Robertson. Is he just, like, he does a lot of things, apart from being able to make the defense honest. He's a really good offensive rebounder for his position. Really smart, heady plays, and I think that the Thunder should try that.
Yeah, they're not taking Roberson.
They need to stop.
It's just not going to happen. You've been calling for this for years. It's they've changed coaches, and it hasn't happened.
Hot take number two.
All-Star Weekend idea. Worst free throw shooter shootout. Would you watch it?
Oh, of course. Absolutely. I would pay money to watch DeAndre Jordan, Andre Drummond, Dwight Howard, Clint Capella, at a few of these other guys. Maybe even Rondo, just for guard's sake.
Rondo's actually, his free throw shooting has been better this year.
Yeah, it has. But, you know, we need some guard to represent it there. Or no, put Isaiah Cannon in it. Dude can't hit a free throw to save his life.
So the first 1 to 20?
I don't understand how you're guarded, you can't hit free throws.
So first 1 to 20 wins or something?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and on the fewest amount of shots or whatever?
Yeah.
Because it couldn't be a time thing.
No, it's got to be best percentage.
Yeah, best percentage. That's funny.
Hot take number 3.
Now that Ja has a competent point guard, it's pretty clear that he deserves Rookie of the Year.
No, I don't agree with that. I think Ja having a competent point guard has paid off in ways that I would have, you know, never even. Well, you knew Ish was going to have the effect on Nerlens, and you wondered what it would have with Ja, but he's getting the ball to Ja in better spots. And Ja offensively right now he's the best prospect in terms of how he's played this year. I mean, you watch Jahlil Okafor play offense and his footwork, and it's so amazing. And it's incredible for a 19-year-old. He's making more of an effort on the defensive end. I will say his rebounding rate has gone up the past few games, but I'm still not. He doesn't play defense well enough to put him over Karl-Anthony Towns, and he hasn't had the body of work that Porzingis has had this season. And I think it's a whole season. I'm not going to give him the rookie of the year. You know, people did that last year with Mirotić. Mirotić had one good month, and all of a sudden he was the second best rookie of the year. Like, Nerlens Noel didn't have a better season all around. Like, Ja is a solid third for me right now. I think offensively he may be the best of the rookie class, but I'm not going to just totally, you know, discount what Towns and Porzingis have done. Oh, no, I think Ja's right. In terms of the bigs, but I mean, Ja comes in, he can drop 20 on any given night. Not many 19-year-olds can do that. It's just you worry about the concerns on defense. It's absolutely still a thing. I've been saying that all year.
Devin Booker can.
He's playing better. He's playing better recently. Devin Booker's playing well.
Dude, Devin
He's
Booker
playing
can.
Not close to top five. We had that discussion. Somebody asked me.
No, I don't agree that's not close to top five. When he's been getting minutes, his true shooting percentage is 60%. He's averaging 18 points a game on 60% shooting with like 5 assists and 4 rebounds. Like, Devin Booker has been solid when he's received the minutes.
But what I'm saying is I need to see more. He's just been getting the uptick in minutes recently with all the injuries.
But, I mean,
just
he was his per 36s were great before too, though.
Sure, but I'm saying I want to see it a little bit. He wasn't.
You know what you have to do
before.
If you want to see it?
Well, watch the Suns.
Right, you got to watch the Suns.
No, I said now I'll probably watch
now more. That they're terrible. You're going to watch them.
Yeah, because I want to see their young talent develop. Because if I'm watching the Suns, I don't want to watch I don't want to watch a mediocre team that doesn't play defense every night. Like, that's kind of what the Suns were going into the season. And now when they have, you know, now they have prospects that they're going to develop and they're going to get all this playing time. I want to see Devin Booker develop. I don't want to see Markieff Morris throw towels at Jeff Hornacek.
It has been a bad season.
It's been rough for you, man. I can't even, like...
Honestly, I think
he wants to laugh because, like, you've had plenty of fun at the expense of me and Justin over the last 3 years. But, dude, much more soul sucking than any of the 3 seasons.
I have not had fun. I have had disagreements with you guys.
You've had a little fun.
No,
admit it. It's cool.
I want everybody's team to be the best team, though. I want my friends' teams to make it to the playoffs. I want you guys to experience that joy with a team that you're a fan of. I don't take joy in the fact that your team isn't any good.
No.
And, you know, I want my friends' teams to all do great. Absolutely. I've always had problems with how they've rebuilt. And at the beginning of the year, one thing I called for was them getting a competent point guard because I thought it would do their rookies and their young players good. And they have, and it did.
Well,
I was right. And yeah. You argued with me on that point. You said it didn't matter.
Well, I hoped I had higher expectations for Kendall Marshall, too, honestly. I mean, that dude has been such a tremendous disappointment to the point where he's not even getting playing time. I mean, McConnell's been a nice surprise. And I think McConnell's quietly on the bottom 10 of the rookie ladder, honestly, with how where he's came out of nowhere. And he's played surprisingly well. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of it was I kind of had higher expectations for Roten and Marshall, which everybody can laugh at me and roast me about now. But,
well, I mean, Marshall just didn't play for a while. But let's do mailbag. We're going late on this.
You've got mail.
Gather around, everyone.
Oh, boy.
All right, first up on mailbag, we got a question from Dave Massey this week. We kind of previewed this earlier. He asks, the Warriors are blowing out teams left and right. Do you think the Spurs have good odds to beat them to get to the finals if they're healthy, of course?
Absolutely. And we were going to talk about that. The NBA, man, with their scheduling, waited until January 26th, which is this Wednesday, for the Spurs and the Warriors to play. Arguably the biggest game of the year, regular season game of the year.
Yeah.
And it is. It's absolutely
what is
the
now?
One. You're right.
But I don't think.
They should know.
Nobody projected the Spurs to be quite this good.
Right. So they weren't going to play their first game until 5 months into the season.
Yeah, but it's a weird quirk.
No. It was a failure. Like, it was an absolute failure. And the fact that they didn't move this game onto national television is an atrocity.
Well, it's not NBA TV.
That doesn't count. It's an atrocity. This game right now should be moved. I don't care what it was scheduled as. Move it to national television. This game should be on ESPN. This game should be on TNT. I don't care. Get this game on national television. Stop putting the Lakers on national television all the damn time. Put this game on national television.
Dude, you brought the passion there. I like
it. No, dude,
I like it.
It's irritating.
No, I understand. I'm going to be watching this game.
I'm going to watch the next day because I don't get NBA TV. So also, I got to watch it the next day on League Pass.
I'll be watching it. But no, and we haven't mentioned this, but welcome back, Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr returned to the lineup for the Warriors.
Yeah,
last
man.
Night,
I wonder if he's going to be coaching the All-Star team, because that'll be funny.
The short version is I agree. I think the Spurs, or do I think the Spurs have a chance? Absolutely. I think the Spurs arguably are the favorites against the Warriors, which I know Warriors fans are going to hate me
for
saying.
They have a better point differential.
Right. And so if you look at the numbers right now, and we'll get into those previews, because it seems destined that these two teams will play in the Western Conference Finals. But of course, we also thought that with the Warriors and the Clippers last year, but which didn't happen.
Right.
So I digress. You know, anything can happen. But Luke Walton has to get a head coaching job now, right? I mean, he has to.
Yeah.
There has to be some team out there who, and by the way, going back to our earlier point, Luke Walton, when he played, I swear, was one of the worst players in the league. I don't know how he was still in the league. I really don't.
I want to do a random NBA player on Luke Walton, actually.
He's just such a, we had an inside joke, me and my friends back home, about just Luke Walton and how, they always love to say that Luke Walton had two rings and LeBron James had zero before he won with the Heat.
Mm.
So, but yeah, he's got to get a coaching job. But to Dave's question, yeah, absolutely. The Spurs have all the chances in the world to beat the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Could be an incredible 7-game series. And I don't think, you know, and for Tuesday, I don't think Tuesday's the end of the world.
I don't think it matters at all. Like, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised to see Pop rest players because he does that on important
Pop
games.
Pop doesn't care.
No, well, he'll do that intentionally so that they can't see the playbook. They aren't going to be running the same plays they're going to be playing against them. The adjustments, you know, the first game of any series just doesn't matter because you want to watch the second and third, see how teams adjust. But I would not be surprised at all to see Pop, like, rest Kawhi Leonard or something.
It would be different, I think, if it was on Christmas, because I think everybody wants to win on Christmas and brings their A game, but no, this is irrelevant. Both of these teams are playing, you know, the Warriors are playing to repeat and the Spurs are playing to get the trophy back. You know, they're playing for June. They're not playing for January and February.
That being said, wait for NBA Twitter the next day to make all of the hot takes.
Oh, of course. It's going to be the spiciest takes all over Twitter, especially if it's a blowout. So our final question comes from Stuart O'Kell. He asks, the NBA last 2 minutes official reviews are more infuriating than informing. Do they do it just to bug the fans?
No, but you know, it's one of those things where you know, they limited it to the last 2 minutes of the game, the last 2 minutes of quarters, and you know, you got to get the plays right. Like, it's infuriating. The last 2 minutes always takes 20. We know that. You got to get over it. The win needs to go to who the win needs to go to. They have the replay center and Secaucus, right? Secaucus.
It's up in New Jersey. Ever been to Secaucus?
I haven't. No,
not a great place. Don't go there.
The replay center looks cool.
Oh, I'm sure it is, but it's just Secaucus. I mean, no offense to Secaucus, but it just, Northern Jersey is kind of...
Yeah, I've been to Jersey. I don't like Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, the beaches
are
cool.
It was not like Jersey Shore at all.
No, it's not remotely like Jersey Shore.
That was my first statement. The reason why we didn't get very many this week is because we normally put it up on Thursday, and that's the one we get a bunch to, but... Justin posted on Thursday, and we really try and limit our Facebook to one post a day so it doesn't annoy you guys. The exception this last week being when David Blatt was fired. I will say, though, anybody that likes us on Facebook, if you aren't seeing our content come up in your feed, go over to our Facebook page and just like one of our posts, and then it'll be more likely the next time we post something, it'll show up in your feed, because Facebook is super irritating that way, where there will be pages that I'll like, And then I'll never see anything they post again because Facebook just decides it doesn't want to show me that.
Yeah. Yeah. They try to aggregate it based on what you want to see the most. There's an option to turn that off where you get everything.
I do, but you have to turn it off like every day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things. And with Stuart's question, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like the alternative is, yeah, it's long. I mean, the end of basketball games are obnoxiously long sometimes. You know, there's no way around it. But the alternative is potentially not getting it right. And Lord knows that, you know, no, there's no worse feeling than losing a game and then finding out that the refs made a mistake. It's just that insult to injury.
Mark Cuban, man. I feel like he always gets the short end of the stick with that.
Yeah, well.
The day after, the refs are like, nope, that really was a blown call.
You think the refs would throw a party when Mark Cuban, if he ever decides to sell the Mavericks?
I don't know. Mark Cuban, what a character.
Also, Tim Duncan and Tony Parker better be at Joey Crawford's retirement ceremony this year.
Yeah, I'm glad he's gone, honestly.
Do you remember that? Do you remember their Halloween costumes the one year?
No.
When they dressed up as, somebody dressed up as Joey Crawford, and they both like had a, they both were like the Grim Reaper, and they had knives to his back.
Oh, no, I don't remember
dude,
that.
It was great. It was like the least Spurs moment of all time. They showed personality and fun.
Right. I'm glad he's retiring. I thought maybe he was great once, but he, you know, whatever.
Who's going to leap in front of the free throws now?
Right. Or behind Curry while he's shooting. So thank you, everybody, so much for listening to the Drive and Dish podcast. If you haven't had a chance yet, go to our website. We put up a new video because you guys were calling for us to do a little bit of video. We didn't do it at this show, and that's because, honestly, my phone battery was almost dead. But we're going to get a little bit better at doing the video for you guys. So go over to driveanddishpodcast.com. There's also a contact button on there that... if you want to send us a longer email, which we just had a listener send us a 25-page thesis paper on NBA All-Star voting. And
wow.
It's really, yeah, like I'm in the middle of reading it right now. We didn't talk about it this week because I'm not done with it. It's a very technical paper, but now I'm rambling. Anyway, go to the website and hit us up.
Wow, 25 pages in All-Star voting. I thought we talked about it a lot. But no, make sure you check us out. We're on all sorts of streaming sites, Apple users. Of course, we're on iTunes. Hit that blue subscribe button and please leave us a review if you're so kind. It's not to stroke our ego. It really does help us move up the rankings. And we want to, again, as always, you know, we want to thank everyone who has left us a review on iTunes. We've seen them, good or bad. We will be reading them over the next few weeks. It's just you guys are really great and leave us a lot. And so it gets a little backed up. So if we haven't got to you yet, promise, I have a list on my phone the way Tim has his ideal list. We check them off each week. But if you're not an Apple user, you're not left out of the party, check us out on Stitcher, Player FM. We are on the Google Play Store, pretty much every streaming site you can get to. Or if worst comes to worst, that doesn't work, make sure you go to our website, driveanddishpodcast.com. You can check out all of our episodes there.
At Drive and Dish on Twitter as well. So let's, I think they know how to hit us up personally, so let's go.
I think we've done enough dancing for today, so why don't we dance Wednesday?
See you, Star Side.
Okay, well, I'm out of here.
Get in the hole!
Da-da-da-da-da, hey! Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da, hey!
Let's go while we're young!
All right, I think they get the point.